Let us pray. Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I don't know if this is an expression from back where I come from, but have you ever heard, "I've talked until I'm blue in the face"? Okay, so people know what I'm talking about. A lot of us parents say that when we're talking to our kids. You know, I talk and I talk and I talk. Goes in one ear and out the other. And I've talked till I'm blue in the face and I'm done until we start talking again. It's very difficult when people won't listen, especially when our message is important, especially when our message could save lives, especially when our message is one that people really need to hear. Jeremiah had that problem. He was God's messenger, and the things that he said were things to prevent massacres, were things that would bring his people peace, and nobody wanted to hear it. In fact, the very people that he was trying to speak to kept turning against him. They called him unpatriotic. They told him that he had to stop speaking. No one really liked Jeremiah. So Jeremiah did what he needed to do, and that was he turned to God. Now, when he turned to God, he didn't say, "Oh, gracious Father, we love you." He said to God, "Bring down retribution. I want you to strike all those people dead." Now, I know we would never say that. We might say, you know, what goes around comes around and you're going to get yours and God's going to get you. But he really wanted retribution. And so he told God, you know, "Take care of them for me." And then when God wouldn't do that, and I'm so grateful God doesn't answer those prayers, then he turns on God. And he said, "You know, I've done everything right. You gave me words. I not only took the words, but they became mine." He said, "I ate them. I became one with these words." And then he said, "But my pain is unceasing, my wound incurable, and you're a deceitful brook. You're like a water fountain that doesn't operate right." He tells God this. It's a wonderful lesson for us. When we think that God has failed us, to tell God, because God is about the only one that can take our anger and doesn't get insulted and doesn't strike back, but listens. And so Jeremiah pours his complaint out. And I guess at one point he just wanted to stop talking, and then God speaks to him. See, that is the problem. When you talk to God, he'll talk back. And sometimes we don't want to hear what he has to say. But God says this to Jeremiah: "If you turn back, I will take you back, and you shall stand before me. If you utter what is precious and not what is worthless, you shall serve as my mouth." What a promise he gives to Jeremiah. He doesn't say, "Look, I know people aren't listening to you, so you can stop talking." He says, "Jeremiah, I want you to do one thing for me. I want you to say what's precious and what's not what's worthless." Now, Jeremiah was specially sent from God to speak God's words. And only a few people in the Old Testament had that privilege and that responsibility. But since Jesus came and he promises us his Holy Spirit, every one of us is God's mouthpiece. That is a great privilege and an awesome responsibility. Everything that comes out of our mouths is God's mouthpiece. And he says, "Utter what is precious and not what is worthless." Well, what is worthless? I have a wonderful book that I read many years ago, How to Win Friends and Influence People. And it's by Dale Carnegie. Now, this is from another century, but it still has things for us today. And Dale Carnegie tells the story that he wanted to impress a famous author. And he had seen one such correspondence from somebody who was important that had written at the bottom of the correspondence, dictated but not read. Now, this goes back, you young people won't understand this. This comes back from the time when businessmen or women would dictate to their secretaries, and then their secretaries would type it up, and they had a little machine, and it was the greatest thing since sliced bread. And so anybody who was important would dictate letters. So this important person had dictated but not read, meaning that he had dictated it, but then he had not looked at it afterwards. Well, Dale Carnegie thought this was great, and he wanted to impress the author that he was writing to. And so he wrote his note, and at the bottom he added, dictated but not read. Well, he gets his original letter back from this famous author, and underneath in red was scrawled, "Your bad manners are only exceeded by your bad manners." Now, I read that and thought it was hilarious. But he wrote, "True, I had blundered, and perhaps I deserved this rebuke, but being human and young, I resented it. I resented it so sharply that when I read of the death of this author 10 years later, the one thought that still persisted in my mind, I am ashamed to admit, was the hurt he had given me. If you and I want to stir up a resentment tomorrow that may rankle across the decades and endure until death, just let us indulge in a little stinging criticism, no matter how certain we are that it is justified. Saying what is precious and not worthless." We live in a day and age where people really enjoy the comeback. And I have to admit that I am as guilty of that as anyone else, where when somebody really gets under my skin, I want to give it to them with both barrels loaded. That is worthless, brothers and sisters. And it's not what God wants. He says, utter what is precious. What is precious? When our words build people up, when our words heal, when our words bring comfort, when our words bring solace, those are the words that are precious. Those are the words that come from the mouth of God and come through us. Toward the end of the tourist season a few years back, I had asked my friend to come and visit, and she was obviously not from this area. It was very obvious upon looking at her that she didn't hail from these parts. And I was taking her from shop to shop, and she was enjoying Door County. And we got to one shop, and one shopkeeper who was really cranky and had enough of tourists looked her square in the eye and said to her, "Do you have any idea why all these tourists are still here?" Now, fortunately, my friend has a sense of humor, and we laughed all the way to the car. But then we went to another shop, and we told the story. And fortunately, it was in a shop where one of our own members was, and she looked my friend in the eye and said, "I want you to know how happy we are to have you here." Those are words that are precious. It's so easy when people get under our skin, just like they got under Jeremiah's skin, to start uttering worthless things. But oh, the joy of being God's mouthpiece. This week, you are God's mouthpiece. In your families, at your jobs, wherever you are, you are God's mouthpiece. What type of words will you utter today? Let us pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much that you don't appoint just a few people to speak your words, but we all have that tremendous privilege. And I ask that we will speak words of joy and peace and restoration this week. In Jesus' name, amen.